Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
All right, I do have one quick question. I've got a bunch of questions for the adults back there, but I have a quick question for you because I need to find out whether you know what a potluck is. Do you know what a potluck is? No? You think you do? What is a potluck? Yes, when everybody brings a food item to the same place and then everybody eats just their own food, right? No? How does it work?
So everybody brings their own food item and then they eat everybody else's.
Everybody, that's exactly right. Everybody brings their own food and then they eat everybody else's, right? That's like one of the potluck rules, right? Is you bring your food, but you don't eat your food at the potluck. You eat somebody else's food, because then if you have leftovers, you're going to have to eat your own food later anyway, right? Yeah, unless you brought deviled eggs. And then you are allowed to take one deviled egg to make sure that you get one of the really good deviled eggs, right? Yeah, this is how it works. Okay, y'all, what are some other potluck rules? What are some of the other rules of being at a potluck? These can be rules that you would write down. These can be rules that you would not ever in a million years write down, but you know they're the rules. Don't sneeze on the food, Roberta says. That was a rule even before the pandemic, right? Yeah. All my mother's food will be consumed. That's right. So if it's getting toward the end of the potluck and Mrs. Pitcher's food is not gone yet, then Warren has to go up for fourths. Yep. Yeah. Okay, Jennifer, and then we'll go back to Bob.
You got to take small portions.
Take small portions. Why do you have to take small portions?
Partly so that you can try a little bit of everything, and partly so you can leave stuff behind for other people.
Oh, two-part rule. Take small portions so that you can try a little bit of everything and so that you can leave something for somebody else. Bob. The guys have to leave all the salads for the ladies. I said you can say out loud the rules you would never in a million years write down. What recipe do you bring to the potluck?
A big one.
A big one. So you've got a special section in your cookbook for stuff big enough to bring to a potluck, especially if you're normally cooking for one or two people the rest of the time, right? And then every so often you cook for 20, and then you go back to cooking for one or two people. Yeah.
I have one more to add.
Fried chicken disappears faster than anything else. Now, there are two reasons for that. One reason is fried chicken, right? And the other reason is, just like at the scripture reading, who's at the front at a potluck?
The kids,
the big eaters, Gary says. The big eaters particularly of fried chicken, right? So kids go through the line first, right? And then people who need help getting their food served, and then everybody else, right? Okay. So this one about take small portions so that you can take a little bit of everything, which is really take small portions so you can take a little bit of everybody's, right? You make sure that everybody's food gets at least some taken, right? That's important. Now, today's habit of the gospel is fellowship. Fellowship. And the word fellowship really means sharing. And so we're going to read a story that you're probably pretty familiar with. And so don't leap ahead to just one meaning from this story. This is going to be the story of Zacchaeus. Does anybody know the little song about Zacchaeus, the wee little man, and a wee little man was he? See, we don't teach this to the kids anymore, which is probably fine. But yeah, us old people, like, we know this song. And so Zacchaeus, here's the whole deal with Zacchaeus. He was short, and he wanted to see Jesus, and there was no front pew for him to come sit in so that he could listen to the scripture reading because nobody liked him. Yeah. And so Zacchaeus couldn't get to the front of the line, so he had to climb a tree and look down from the tree to see where Jesus was. So Zacchaeus is right up there for the scripture reading. We get to be right down here for the scripture reading. Pretty good? All right.
First of all, I have to say it's very appropriate that the sermon is fellowship today, since I will be your outgoing fellowship elder at the end of the year. So I have enjoyed many potlucks and planning, so very appropriate today. Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord God, pour out your spirit upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, and let your word be fulfilled among us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I had defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from about 8 weeks after the scripture reading, and a lot happened during that time. So Jesus died, Jesus came back to life, Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down, everybody's heads caught fire, Peter stood up and gave a speech, which was very successful. And this is immediately what happens right after that, from Acts chapter 2. "The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." This is the word of the Lord. Sharing, or that fancier word we use, fellowship, was a key practice of that early church as we peeked in on their very, very early life together. It was as vital for them to share together as it was to pray, to celebrate the sacraments, to study the Bible. Fellowship was a core way that the gospel became good news, not just for the church, but for others around them. The book of Acts records that fellowship, along with all the rest of that, drew people into the community of faith every day. Their neighbors saw what they had going, and they wanted some of that. The gospel was good news for their neighbors. When the church shares together, even when we share together as this congregation 2,000 years on from that early church, when we share together, we are reflecting just a little bit of what the kingdom of heaven is like as it comes here on earth. That is what the gospel is always ultimately about. It is ultimately about the kingdom of heaven coming on earth. Now, fellowship is not just about spending time with our friends over wine or coffee, although it is certainly that. Fellowship is about a new community that is created through sharing what we have with each other. And so Barb read for us this famous story about Zacchaeus that we may not have known was about fellowship. Zacchaeus, who climbs up in a tree, not a sycamore tree like we have out there. This was a sycamore fig. It was a sort of a fruit-sized tree. So I was pointing to the maple that's maybe as tall as it was. But he had to climb up there so that he could see Jesus because the crowd wouldn't let him through to see Jesus. So we know this Zacchaeus story as this famous story of repentance, as Zacchaeus restores what he has taken wrongly, as he repents from this life of taking advantage of his neighbors in collusion with the Roman Empire. So it is a story about grace and transformation. It's a story about longing, Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus. But at the beginning and the end of this story, this is a story about fellowship. Because fellowship is what grace and salvation look like in Zacchaeus' life. It's almost like Jesus could not save Zacchaeus without the practice of fellowship. He's walking along that road and he stops and he looks up in the tree, as the song told us, that's where Zacchaeus went. And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today." That is a salvation story, but it works through fellowship. It works through Jesus sharing a meal with Zacchaeus and then Zacchaeus sharing everything he has with his neighbors. And it's fellowship that gets Jesus in such trouble with the religious authorities that he's going to be dead within the week of this. Now, it would have been safer for Jesus to just, on his way by, kind of look up in the tree at Zacchaeus and kind of zap him with his invisible salvation ray, and then Jesus could go on about his business and Zacchaeus would get to go to heaven when he dies, which is not what salvation is ultimately about, as it turns out. Because imagine that had happened. Imagine that Jesus had gone on his way, and in order not to cause too much of a kerfuffle among the Jerichoans, Jesus just points at Zacchaeus, is like, "I got you later," and moves on. And then Zacchaeus, well, he's going to go to heaven when he dies, but he goes through the whole rest of his life on earth still ostracized as a traitor and a sinner. He's a powerful man when it comes to money, when it comes to extorting money from his neighbors on behalf of the oppressive empire, but he's got no place within the community. He's got no place within the supportive community of his neighbors, and his servants and his family would struggle just as much as they always had just to do business under the weight of his sour reputation, and no one would invite him to dinner or happy hour. So if all Jesus did on his way by was reignite that little flicker of faith in Zacchaeus' heart, what would that change? An outcast going to heaven when he dies is still an outcast. Instead, Jesus invites himself over. Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He goes into this space where no one else even would be willing to go, even if they were invited. And Jesus even eats the first helping of the party potatoes that Zacchaeus brought. And I don't want to ignore here that Zacchaeus goes through a huge change here as well. He knows that his wealth was ill-gotten, and he tangibly repents and repairs the damage that he's done. But first, Jesus changed Zacchaeus's social world. What Jesus added was fellowship. Jesus added fellowship. He gave Zacchaeus a new place in the community around him. He brought salvation directly to Zacchaeus, and it looks like fellowship. José Manuel Capella Prats tells us a story of fellowship that is salvation. He tells the story of Jay. Now, Jay hadn't set foot in a church sanctuary for decades. He was a successful businessman. He was a pillar of society. He was respected and recognized and beloved, many things that Zacchaeus wasn't. But Jay was a gay man, and so he had long ago found out that he didn't belong in church. He had long ago found out that he didn't belong in the faith community that had brought him up and nurtured him to believe in Jesus and to desire that time in God's presence. And so Jay made his life outside the church. Prejudice had kept him away from the church, but it never kept him away from God. Jay had fond memories of his childhood at church. He particularly remembered helping his mother prepare the elements of communion. Well, one day, finally, Jay found himself in a sanctuary again. It was a communion Sunday, and his family member had insisted and insisted that he attend. "This church is different," they said to Jay. Jose Manuel, our narrator, was serving communion that day. As communion was distributed, Jose Manuel walked to the pew where Jay was sitting and offered him the bread and the cup. And Jay participated in communion for the first time in many years. And when the service was over, Jay stayed for lunch. By then, he was already part of the family. And later that evening, Jay called Jose Manuel on the phone. Jose Manuel could hardly understand the words that Jay was saying through the tears. He was sobbing, overcome by emotion. But the words that came through were, "You included me. You included me." So then Jay became an integral part of the faith community there until his death. He passed on knowing that God's profound love for him was made real in the context of a faith community that loved him as well. That sense of fellowship and communion, that sense of embracing him without judgment or condemnation, rekindled a long-lost spiritual connection with the God of love. As the book of Acts says, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That's good news. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission this morning lifts up the 225th General Assembly. This is a great big meeting that Presbyterians hold every 2 years, Presbyterians from across the country. The 225th General Assembly took place last month, both online and in Louisville, Kentucky. At this series of meetings over the course of 3 weeks, commissioners from presbyteries across the country worked to discern God's will on topics such as church leadership, structure and finances, immigration and international relations, gun violence, fossil fuels, and the conflict between the government of Israel and the Palestinian people. Our contemporary issues class will spend some time this winter digging into some of the topics that were addressed at General Assembly last month. Some of the General Assembly actions apply directly to the national level of the church. Others affect the way that presbyteries and even local congregations function. And most of those will require further discernment at the presbytery level before they go into effect. So we welcome your continued prayers for those who are involved in discerning around those topics. Presbyterians are always very careful and very deliberate about how we make decisions. Every General Assembly also includes mission work in the host city. This year, that hands and feet mission focused on the issue of cash bail and the way that cash bail burdens people in Louisville and in other communities around the country. GA commissioners prayed with their words, with their debate and discernment, and with their hands and feet. We thank God for their work.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.